Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Praise God. Are you thankful? Are you ready to give more thanks? It's great to see each one of you. Praise the Lord. Today, I felt, and I quoted it to someone, but the Lord just, I was praying for someone. I prayed for several people the last couple of days. And I said, I am thankful. The good news, I've got good news for you. The good news is, the bad news was completely wrong. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm thankful. Amen. That all the stuff that tries to put fear in us is from a lying spirit. It's a fabrication. But the devil tries to make you believe in it. In the, you know, from time to time, I have to mention movies. But there was a movie in the 60s. And it was titled Soylent Green. How many of you remember that? And it starred Charlton Heston. And it was in the context of all the stuff people were saying. Now, if you'll remember the late 60s on, and then the 70s, there was the, it's going to be, we are too many people on earth. And soon, we're going to run out of food. This is in the 60s, now remember. Are we surviving? Did we make it through the
60s? Just barely. As you can see, I'm almost starving.
Yeah. Well, I've got a solution. And at the end, Charlton Heston is a hero. He follows his friend who is now, they're getting rid of people. But there's no, they don't know what's happening to these people. And at the end, I mean, you people are all living on these green tablets that is really food, and the government is distributing. And at the end, Charlton Heston comes out of it with horror and says, this, and the movie ends with that. Soylent Green is people. So don't watch it if you don't have to, because it was all a lie. It was all, we are running out of food. We are too many people. And since then, the population has grown, and we are still doing okay. In fact, doing good. The very poor nations have come higher. In vast populations. China has a vast population. They are able to feed their population. India is doing really well, and their middle class is growing, and they are able to feed their people. Anyway, but how many of you remember Y2K? Remember? It's going to be a disaster. We're all going to, it's going to be ruined. No. And then every system, our electrical, everything will be out of order.
Kaput.
Remember? There were, I knew some of my friends who made prophetic cassettes or tapes and saying, that's when the end of the world is going to take place. Now I'm so glad end of the world did not take place. How many of you are glad the end of the world did not? My children had a chance to grow.
I remember one of the stories on one of these several, the end is here, prophetic revolutions that the church in America, frankly, this doesn't tend to happen anywhere but here. It typically, majorly, only happens on this big continent, where there are these winds of the end is coming, the end is here, that pastor. But I remember when we were living in South Florida, one of the stories, a true story, was of a woman who believed.
Oh yes.
One of these end, the end is here things.
Y2K type thing, I think.
Yes. And so she took her precious puppy.
Oh, it was the September. What was it? 66 reasons, whatever.
88
reasons.
88, yeah. 88 Why? Reasons the world will end in 1988. So she took her pet and had the pet put to sleep and taxidermied. So she would, have the pet preserved. I don't know how that even makes sense. Was she surprised.
We shouldn't be laughing at this.
She still had her dog, sort of.
But it happened. I was flying in to minister to Austin, and it happened in Austin, and that was part of the sad news. I shouldn't be laughing. But people believed, and there were some good people, but they got bamboozled by this message. And this whole thing, that vibration, that's a wrong vibration, starts shaking around this. And I just want you to know, when Jesus is coming, but it's all good news.
Yep.
So we have good news, and
the
Lord
is
great. And there were a lot of movies in the 60s of the world coming to an end because of nuclear war. There was a great great movie with Gregory Peck, On the Beach, it was, I think it was called. That didn't mean go to Bahamas or on the beach. It was like the whole world is destroyed with nuclear war. So I was just thinking of, and the reason is, I'm talking about it right now, is that some of the, almost the whole of, I listened for a few minutes to the Democratic presidential candidates, and almost all believed that we are pretty much all going to be drowning in water because there's global warming and climate change. And in about less than 10 years, we're all going to be underwater. And I said, I wish I could pray for each of you and pray deliverance, because you have believed totally.
Well, and some of them don't actually believe that, but they want the people who do believe it to support them.
To follow them. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Bernie. If you really believe it, stop flying around in a big jet that leaves a huge carbon footprint.
And in the early 60s, mid-60s.
You surprised me with this little trend here, this little river here.
Well, we are emissaries. Wherever people see us, you, me, they're happy because we bring good news.
That's
right?
That's good. Yeah.
Behold, I have tidings of great news. And so at Christmas time, we're coming, we're going to come in that Christmas season where we're going to see, oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, how lovely are your branches. That's Christmas tree, right? How many of you looking forward to seeing Christmas trees around? Oh, I love it. We wallow in Christmas. That's one of the phrases we say here. But it's because, behold, I have tidings of good news. Born to you this day in Bethlehem is the Savior. I mean, we are messengers and emissaries of good news. And we do not believe lying spirits. And so I'm looking back at the many times that there were this there was going to be worldwide famine. And, oh, there used to be, I forget now, some of you may remember, a guy who wrote books on global cooling. At that time, the earth was freezing. And it was in style, everything is going to freeze over. This is global cooling. Suddenly they changed.
Somebody messed with the thing on the wall.
Thermostat. Stop messing with the thermostat. Whoever
is doing
it.
It's too cold in here. Let's turn it up.
We have in our home a controversy because she likes it freezing and I like
that's
to be
not
warm.
Very good, is it? If I'm he's
and I tell her, listen, I was born in Africa, Mombasa, where we bless Todd and Ed. They're going to be visiting, hopefully, those regions.
Amen.
Not far away. There was some of the best scenes. You'll see Mombasa, Kenya. But it's warm. It's tropics.
I would like to say something about these trends of the end of things, the disastrous end of things. And the fact that it is a pure, in the beginning, it's purely a soulish, a reasoning of human thinking within the bounds and confines of mortal humanity only. And even though there are controversies about the science this way and that way and all kinds of stuff, the true reality is the significance of Jesus' bodily resurrection and the time that he spent in the earth in his new body, his indestructible body in the earth. And all of those days that he spent before he ascended, showing himself to over 500 people in different instances and occasions, eating with them, doing things, cooking for them, so on and so forth. And of course, some of the disciples wrote down the eyewitness account of a few of those things. But the meaning of the resurrection, not just for life, after death, but literally the significance of what the resurrection means for the value and vitality of the creation and God who has created his good creation and what he will do to renew the heavens and the earth and give us a new one. And I think that perhaps as believers in our sermons and in our books and our readings and all of those things, perhaps we haven't talked enough and thought enough and meditated enough and realized enough the significance of the resurrection of Jesus' dead body.
Amen.
Whereby the Holy Spirit, he was reconstituted, if you will, in an indestructible body, a form like ours, and we shall all have one. And the significance of that speaks exactly what you started with. The good news is that bad news about all this fatality, the world's going to end in, you know, a huge nuclear blast, or it's going to end in freezing or, you know, flooding or whatever. The reality is Jesus is going to come to this earth. That's the reality. That is the reality. And the scripture says that when suddenly he appears, every human being living on the globe at that time will see him all at once. You can't do that except through quantum physics beyond quantum physics. Yep. But that will occur. Everyone will see him. And you know that one little phrase there in Thessalonians where it speaks of being caught up to meet the Lord in the air? In the Greek, the apostle is referring to what would happen when a conquering captain or hero would come in the Roman days, and the citizens would go out of the outskirts of the city to welcome him into the city. And that whole thing of caught up to meet the Lord in the air and never be with the Lord, the in-between is the travel back into the city and the renewal of the earth. And I don't know, because the Bible doesn't specifically talk about the details of all of these things, but it will be an unfolding in the calendar and predetermination of the Father of the finishing and the fulfillment of his redemption plan. And so it's true. The good news is all this bad news is wrong.
Absolutely. So, number one, when we say the Apostles' Creed, I have, at my own discretion, added 2-3 sentences, mm-hmm. agreeing with the previous theology, but it is so mind-boggling that we need to repeat it to ourselves. And that message is so awesome, it bears repeating. We mentioned in the Apostles' Creed, but I want to say, I added the words, I believe in Jesus. Say, I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in his resurrection. The moment you say, I believe in his resurrection, you are in another zone.
Yeah.
You are in that zone of what? Miracles, yeah. Signs, wonders. It was by a grand, awesome miracle, hallelujah, as the wish of the Heavenly Father, the work of the Holy Spirit who came down, the Spirit of glory came down and resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And on the third day, he rose again, and he is Jehovah Sabaoth, the captain of the armies, hallelujah, of the living God. And he's anointing you, and you will have no fear of bad tidings. No fear, because he is our king. He is leading you. He is your captain. Say, my captain.
My captain.
That's a military term. He is our leader, and it's so mind-boggling. And then we edit, therefore, I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. And then I confess, we personalize it. I believe, I am believing for a miracle and a sign and a wonder and a breakthrough for myself, for my family,
for my neighbor.
For my neighbor. And our neighbor is everybody,
yes,
out there,
yes,
on earth,
yes,
that they need the good news. So we all, we should be celebrating. We are, in a few days, we officially celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, there are many other small gatherings we're going to have, but we are going to give thanks. But it's because way back, a small group of people,
yeah,
sailed
Christians
in a hopeless,
yeah,
little endeavor of,
yeah,
tiny ship that,
yeah,
would, called the Mayflower.
Yeah.
And there were storms that would have killed most people, but they made it. And the first winter, half of them died, but they made it. They were able to make it and give thanks. Lord, you have preserved us. And then just by signs and wonders, they raised up. They were part of the root of a great nation that rose up, become the most powerful economy. And I wanted to point you to scripture in Numbers 13. I had a scripture. You can turn to Numbers 13 and verse 25 onwards. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless," or but, and that's the doubter's language, "but, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." That's the giants. And there, Amalek is living in the land of the Negev and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Termites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea, by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men, so there are messengers who bring bad news. They saw the same things. Wow. But they are either we see in faith or we see doubting.
And that's good.
But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." Now this is, God has promised, "I'm going to bring you into the promised land. You're going to have vineyards you never planted. You're going to have orchards. You're going to have wells you never dug. And I'm bringing you the promised land. You will have to do some battle. You have to exercise faith." So there is always, we are not excused from exercising faith. We should always. And so we should encourage each other and say, "Hey, there are all kinds of possibilities. The giants may come and try to beat us. The Amalekites, who are always enemies, may try to come against us. But we can take the promised land." And therefore, in the same way, as we, I had to pray for several situations this last few days of major medical challenges coming up. And for me, I always see the glory and the healing. That this is, wow, this is a chance for us to exercise faith and believe for breakthrough. Believe for miracles. Believe Jehovah Rapha is involved. And the good news is, this bad news is wrong. And God is going to do great miracles.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Raise your hand. Say, "God is going to give me miracles. Signs and wonders. My family, my children are going to get breakthroughs. Promotion, favor, and we are going to prosper with promised land provision." And there are people and there are voices that delight almost in that spirit of doubt and unbelief. And they think they are fulfilling some kind of duty. And our, as a community, I want to declare us as an apostolic community of faith. Amen. With signs, amen, miracles, amen, and wonders and breakthroughs, amen, over each of you. Amen. May you, in the Christmas season and in the new year, we are going to experience breakthroughs we never thought we would have, and miracles. And I believe that the Lord is going to usher us in to a prosperity, a zone of prosperity we never thought we would see. It's promised land provision. And as you see the figures, I am so astounded. Lord, it's your mercy. I say, how can this be? But we are, all the economic figures are such that they're scratching their head. Bad guys, they would lump, especially because a lot of the media, the majority, 95% of the media, would love to, especially if they would make this president look bad. They want to minimize any kind of victory. They want to declare recession. and they are so disappointed when recession does not happen. Yeah. They are so hoping that the economy would be collapsed and say, darn it, it's looking better than ever. Yeah. So they're going crazy. And I say, may their craziness get even more. Amen. Let them get more crazy and more disappointed, because the good news is all their bad news and prophesying is wrong. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And we learned. We had to exercise faith. And for all of us, you are going to, don't be worried. We're a faith community, and we're going to exercise faith together. And when you have some challenge, we're going to believe for the great thing, that promised land. You're coming into the promised land provision, and those, we're going to take authority over every spirit of fear and depression. God does not. One of the great scriptures we're going to practice with us is, God does not give you the spirit of fear or depression or anxiety or defeat. God is giving you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Say sound mind. And even though you have suspicion sometimes whether your husband has a sound mind or not, please exercise faith. And when he's not looking, just put your hand on his head and say, sound mind. I'm joking. She will do it.
You have a very sound mind.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Thank you.
I want to make a couple of little comments about the atmosphere in here this evening. early in the worship, there was a moment where Whitaker started playing the drums right early in some of that set. And I suddenly had a vision that had sound. And it was a vision of what I thought was a menorah. And the center candle had ignited the two candles on either side of it. But those three were burning so furiously and brightly that I could hear it. You know how when a fire actually roars, it has a sound. And it was literally, it was burning. So not furiously with anger, but so exuberantly that it was just, and that exuberance of that center candle had illuminated the candle on the right and left of it. And as I, you know, just meditated on it, and it was in the context of that worship that continued to build, I mentioned to Keila that there was an atmosphere in here tonight where we each and then all together as ministers unto the Lord were in a moment of giving to him corporately, but even more than each of us coming here tonight to receive something. It was a very powerful priestly moment that was present in the atmosphere. And as I was just continuing to listen about this vision that I knew was a symbol of what we were experiencing tonight, immediately I know that in the Hanukkah, the candlestick that is used for Hanukkah, which is 9 candles instead of the 7, which is the weekly one, but the center candle is called the servant candle, and it's actually representative of the Lord Jesus. And in the Hanukkah, which celebrates the miracle of the oil continuing from true Israel history, when they were, you know, invaded, the temple was wrecked in the days of Antiochus. And all of the oil was desecrated. When the priests came back, when the Maccabees came back, they found that one little vessel of oil that could light the menorah for the temple for one day. And it lasted for 2 and then 3 and then 4, long enough for them to sanctify enough oil to be, you know, to continue lighting the menorah. And that's where we get the Jewish festival, which is coming in a couple of weeks, 10, 14 days or so, of Hanukkah, the festival of lights. However, but I was seeing this menorah, and the Lord was ministering to my spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I could feel him as the high priest doing something with each of us tonight of filling us with fresh oil. And it was an exuberant, I want to use the word furious, because it was a fire that of consuming whatever, of intense light that was burning from him and beginning to flow out to light the rest of this candlestick. And I said, Lord, what is that? There's something in this representation about what you're doing with us tonight, of that oil flowing into the candles on either side and continuing to flow. And then Keila came and took a few moments for a beautiful Thanksgiving offering. And there was a phrase in there that she said, anoint our eyes. And then she paused and she said, of our spirits. And then she continued on. And the moment she said, anoint our eyes, the whole thing exploded in my mind. And I suddenly saw the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil for our eyes, for our ears, for our hands, for our feet. And it continued to go. Immediately, I always go then to scripture, and I'm like, where are the places where our eyes are anointed, you know, in scripture? And obviously, Revelation 3 immediately comes to mind, where he says, buy for me the eye salve and anoint your eyes that you might see. But then you immediately think of the miracles, the miracle of Jesus, where he spat on the ground, for instance, and anointed the blind man's eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And it's funny, because that story in John chapter 8 and 9 is exactly what you've just described in terms of the political scenario and in terms of all these fatalist things. Here we have a man who was born blind, and he himself now, he can see. Oh, but wait, we cannot enter into his joy, rejoicing. We have to be suspect about the man who did this, because the man who did this must be a sinner, and or you must have sinned it. And we're going, shut up. The man the blind man can see, for heaven's sakes, you know, rejoice in the Lord. And scripture, John's gospel, I think, goes on for like 2 chapters on the controversy and the dissection and the argument and the religious, you know, objections and all of the stuff. The man can see, for heaven's sake, you know. Yeah. So the good news is the bad news was wrong. But as I saw this thing tonight, suddenly I just went from eyes to ears to hands to feet. And I want to declare to you, there is an anointing, a fresh anointing tonight, a new anointing on you as a priest and minister of the living grace of God, the resurrected one, that your eyes may see and give sight to others, that your ears may hear and enable others to hear. Jesus stood up, you know, and read Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he said to those people, today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled. So suddenly, after thousands of years of reading that scripture, they were in a moment of visitation where they were experiencing the reality of it being revealed and fulfilled right in front of them in their hearing. And then, of course, I thought of the anointing of the priest. When the high priest would come and he would anoint, and he would anoint their ears and their hands and their feet for service. And so we want to bless you tonight, and I want to acknowledge the Lord is present, anointing you, anointing us in a fresh way. And I believe that it is for evangelism. I believe that it is for revelatory communication with people, not religious, but real, like Jesus there in the flesh, being able to talk to any person wherever they're at, and make that heart connection, and be able to begin to let light shine where there is darkness. There was, anyway, I had to share it. I can still hear the candle, the servant candle, the Lord Jesus. You know, and that thing of, so touch your eyes. You are anointed. Touch your ears. You are anointed. Hold out your hands. You are anointed. Touch your feet. You are anointed. Your path. He bathes my steps in his anointing oil. That's scripture from Job. Your hands, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The miracle of Jesus in the synagogue, in the church, the man with a withered arm. And he says, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. Jesus healed it. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Let's take this oil. Let's take this oil.
Amen. Amen. And that is, it's like previous untruths. God's bringing us out of whatever lying spirit will try to define our situation. But God says, I want you to look in faith, and especially as the new season, I think it's one of the, I was talking with someone last night, and they love the season. I say, yes, and it is. I enjoy the season of Thanksgiving, and then Christmas and New Year's, and it's the season we are coming into the promised land provision. Say, I'm coming into promised land provision.
Coming in to the promised land provision.
Me and my children.
Me and my children.
Me and my family.
Me and my family.
Me and my church.
Me and my church.
Amen. And me and my nation.
Me and my nation.
Amen. Amen, Lord. And so watch out for that, because we are entering into a great year, but it's slightly tricky. And we need to be people of discernment. Amen. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit, is discerning of spirit, because there will be the economy, they're saying, unless they're lying with the figures, but they are not, that it's perhaps the best economic readings that beats the last 60 years. We have never experienced this kind of figures in the last 60 years. It's in such good shape. And yet, there are those, because it's an election year, there are going to be much bigger lies than we have ever known before. There are going to be castings of fear and doubt and confessions of bad things. And we have to, in fact, we have to be not only discerning ourselves, but we must carry a measure of leadership, especially spiritual leadership, and bring people into hope and into the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Proclaim the good news. We have good news. We don't look, and we need to tell people, don't look at this fake news or this bad news. And in the same sense, I would urge you personally, for yourself and then for our neighbors, to, we're going to pray. Where necessary, we're going to fast, but we're going to really believe for this to be some of the greatest years, some of the greatest miracles, that we're going to pray in and fast in the miracles that every family needs. We're going to agree with you and come and confess. Jericho is going to fall.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The giants are not going to take over.
Amen.
So the captain of armies, Jesus Christ, is bringing us into promised land provision, and that we're going to carry the banner of victory and lead thousands,
Lord,
and millions into a knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus is king. I mean, Kanye West, come on. Right? Everybody's been looking for the next Billy Graham. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. I need 10,000 Bibles. No, I need 11,000 Bibles to pass out. This is amazing. God is great. And, oh, Lord, you are so awesome. I love your sense of humor, too, Lord. I just thank you. I thank you for your sense of humor. It's absolutely amazing. While you were talking, Pastor, this little phrase, I just made it up, but my folks used to use this phrase, above the fray, right?
About
but while
fray.
You were talking, and you said, we're going to pray. And I said, you know what? We're going to pray, and we're going to stay above the fray.
Good.
This spirit of divisiveness, and as this election thing ramps up, it is going to be bitter and venomous and aggressive in the air. And so we are going to be emissaries of shalom, of peace.
Good news.
Of good news, of reconciliation, of grace. So we're going to pray and stay above the fray. And hopefully, by the grace of God, be able to help other folks to step above it, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. Because the good news is the bad news is wrong.
Absolutely. And in fact, there is going to be signs, wonders, miracles, and revival glory is falling.
Jesus, bring it.
I want to tell you, one of the first invitations we got, we have so many invitations. We have to really pick and choose where we go. But one of the first was wonderful to go to a group of wonderful Catholic people. And I said, there is something the Lord is speaking out of this. Because more than 40 years ago, 40 plus, goes some of the greatest revival, we call it the great charismatic revival. And you, each of you indirectly have eaten the fruit of it, are being blessed by it. That it began with some of the greatest meetings of Catholics, Spirit-filled Catholics were some of the pioneers mm-hmm. in this revival.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was so much fun to see, I mean, great meetings with Protestants and Catholics and yeah. all of them yeah. being zapped by the Holy Spirit, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit with signs, wonders, miracles. And we were young zealots at that time.
And now we're old zealots.
We're not old.
And still, we have never seen the Lord forsaken or the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread.
Amen. But that was an aspect of revival that denominational, the walls broke down. And it did not
beautiful.
Matter. There would be Catholics coming.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
would go there to get renewal of the Holy yeah. Spirit. Or they would come and be part of it. And when we started the watch here, we had many Catholics groups, and they would come over and over. And there were a group of Catholic sisters who they were revived by this ministry and got filled with the Spirit, and they would come regularly. Their background was Catholic. And eventually, God used them so wonderfully. There became an order. They got from the Vatican. They got permission to be an order, special of nuns. And guess who they made their first honorary nun?
Was it me?
They gave me. So I just want you to know I'm a reverend. I'm a doctor of ministry, doctor. And I'm a nun.
Sister Mary Mahesh.
Only certain people will be allowed to say that. But it's a time of revival and reconciliation. That was what it was. It signified great renewal and refreshing. And may that be in all across. We bless wherever there is rioting. We pray right now for,
amen.
By the way, I've been really
yes,
touched by
yes.
what's happening in Hong Kong.
Yes.
And we send
yes.
our prayers
yes.
and our blessings for those beautiful people. And I pray there would be shalom for them.
Thank
there
you,
is also
Lord.
Iran, the people of Iran,
yeah.
after 40 years of
yeah.
oppression with the Islamic mullahs. They've had enough of the lies, and we pray.
Yes.
I really feel such compassion. And some of the most tender people towards the Lord are Iranians. You will see. Now, we have met them, and a lot of our teachings, the whole watch of the Lord, quite a bit of it has been, I believe, many number of them have been interpreted into Farsi, into Iranian language. These are, I'm praying that what we see as the stirring up of writing all of that, that these are signs.
Yep.
God is about to do something
yes, Lord.
Major in some of these areas,
yes,
key
Lord.
Areas. And so we believe for them. So the watch focuses we do. We're going to take some leadership in praying for certain things in the coming year. So I want us to enjoy each other, enjoy family during this time of Thanksgiving and then Christmas. We're going to celebrate and just tell the world we got good news.
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Is born
Amen.
In Bethlehem.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I can see the three wise men coming.
You can?
From the east. One of them was an Indian. One of them from China, correct. And one from Africa. We got it. And the one from Europe kind of got, you know, got too hot. The heat was too much.
Global warming.
I am just making it up, guys. Just being,
I'm chasing that rabbit about above the fray.
Yes.
And in the theme of the watch, for instance, and you mentioning Hong Kong or what's happening in Iran or what's happening in the States. I mean, what's happening with the impeachment inquiries and this ongoing, you know, protracted. It frankly reminds me of the scenario around the guy who got healed of blindness and just for, you know, hours they just went on arguing and fighting and whatever about the you know it's ridiculous but above the fray from Exodus 17 and this is the in the context of the event of God literally causing a rock to spew out a river for people to drink out of. Now that's a pretty good miracle.
Wow.
A rock spewing out a gusher of water to water a couple of million thirsty people wandering in the desert. But immediately after that is the story of Israel having to encounter and combat the Amalekites, and it's the story of Moses up on the hill with Aaron and Hur holding his arms up. And he said to Joshua, choose some men and go and fight the Amalekites tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill and watch over you. And of course, we know that that's what happened. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Say the top of the hill. This is a good picture of your intercessions, of your prayers, and of your faith, wherever you are, in whatever scenario, as you go about your business, you are actually, as a priest, you are sitting with Jesus in his throne. So you are overlooking where you are. Does that make sense? You are actually overlooking where you're engaged in your situation day to day. And it says that as Moses held his hands in the air, the men of Israel would win. But when Moses let his hands down, the men of Israel would begin to lose the fight. And so what I want to say is stay above the fray. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one of the ways that you, that furious fire of the anointing, the servant Jesus filling you with the Spirit of God. Stay filled with the Spirit of God so that you literally stay in that position above the fray of victory, even watching over the circumstances that you're engaging with others around you. And in an ongoing way, the watch is covering you, covering your family, we're covering one another, and agreeing as the watch, watching over, as Moses, over the scenarios, like praying for Hong Kong, one of our families whose children are in China, and they're going to visit, and I was just praying with them tonight and saying, you know what? We are there. We're holding our hands up and praising the Lord for the awakening of the church, for the rising and the solidarity and the anointing on the underground church, on believers there in China, that these circumstances are an evidence of actual revival, that God is moving in that nation. Yeah. And so we bless and pray in the same for Iran. So Jesus definitely is on the top of the mountain.
And those people hungering for freedom and to be able to worship the living God, that God's going to move on their behalf, that he'll remember Cyrus and he'll remember the good king from that area, from Persia.
I want to make a remark about Hong Kong, and you've seen this. Their phrase is actually the famous phrase of Patrick Henry during the American Revolutionary War, where he said, after his little speech there in the church in Richmond, "Give me liberty or give me death." And the Hong Kong protesters' phrase is "liberty or death." And the American flag is everywhere. The reason that I'm bringing that up is because America's history and her story is something that has a resonance and a power. And I want to say about this president, all of the naysayers castigating him about his strong national pride and all of that, that resonance and that vision that every nation has a unique and exceptional destiny and gifts and borders and participation in the rest of the world instead of this homogenized global thing. That is something that this president has been the fire starter for. And when he started that just blatant conviction at the beginning of his presidency, it began to spark that same awakening in many other nations. And some of these protests that we're seeing for freedom and quote-unquote democracy in some of these other nations, the original fire clicked. It's like click of the bick, was our president beginning 4 years ago.
And what is very important and notable is that a few days ago, he declared that the places which we called, used to be called Judea, that it belongs, that they can build settlements. Until this time, there was like reservations that Israelis couldn't make permanent homes in those areas because they didn't know whether they would be allowed to by all the United Nations and all of that. But with the support of United States of America, it is amazing. I believe God is so pleased. He is going to bless America because we have chosen, once again, bless Israel in the most unique way. And part of the credit goes to this president. No other president has done this. So God is smiling that Israel is being blessed. By the way, we also pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I am for anyone who chooses to be not compromising where Jerusalem is concerned, that they won't divide it, and that Judea and Samaria are territories of Israel from ancient days. God gave it to them. And so in this hour, what one of the keys you remember is that for Moses, as it was not, the key was not Joshua going into the battle because he was going to go whatever happened, but it was Moses lifting up his arms, and that indicates part of the strategy that we take in the coming days for each of us individually for your lives, and we're going to be together as never before. We're going to be bonded. Yeah. We're going to cover each of you in every family, but we're going to be in intercession. But move our gears, change the gear from the natural to the supernatural. We see that that's one of the keys is when Moses raises his hands, as long as he has his hands raised. That I mean, he is in intercession to the living God. He's asking the help of the supernatural army of the living God. And the Lord is battling on our behalf. But we also don't choose to always just stay in the natural realm, but we're going to stay go into the supernatural realm and call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah. And it says here, now I'm thinking back to when I originally saw that the menorah and the candle in the middle and the candles lighting the candles on both sides. So for me, it's like Moses and Aaron and Hur. And in the unique language of the watch, it comes full circle to see those three there. And it says here that Aaron and Hur held Moses' hands in the air, Aaron on one side of Moses and Hur on the other, and they held his hands up like this until the sun went down, and Joshua and his men had victory in this battle. And the Lord said to Moses, write about this battle. Write these things in a book so that people will remember what happened here. And be sure to tell Joshua, I will completely destroy the Amalekites, the particular enemy, from the earth. And Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. For he said, I lifted my hands toward the Lord's throne, and the Lord fought against my enemy. And he will always fight against my enemy.
Victory.
Yes.
Jehovah Nissi, our banner of victory. That's, I believe, it's one of the names we go into the new year. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our victory, in Jesus' name.
That's good. Amen. We need to mark that because that's a prophetic word. Part of the word advancing into 2020 is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, Amen. Our banner of victory. That's Amen. Good.
May
Thank
he
you,
fly
Jesus.
Over this United States
Thank
in the
you,
coming
Lord.
Year.
We pray.
He give us the victory.
Yes,
for
Jesus.
Godly people.
For
we can see clearly what the principles are
Thank you,
that
Lord.
Please God and what do not. It's for me, I am for babies having
Amen.
Life.
Thank
and
you,
no
Lord.
No abortion. And things like that are very clear for us as Christians. May God bless those who will be for babies to stay alive. I mean,
Thank
it's
you,
not
Jesus.
Confusing.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.